All right, and we should see.
Anabel, ¿sí me escuchas? Porque yo no escucho ni a ti ni a la.
En este momento no, no estoy hablando, Alicia. Sí que, Alicia, ¿puedes usar el chat? Montserrat, ¿sí escuchas a Anabel? No.
¿Sí?
Okay.
Sí te estoy escuchando, Anabel, pero a Daniela no.
Es que ahora no estoy hablando. Oh, ¿ya no me escuchas?
No, we only hear you speaking, but you said the interpreter was speaking, and I didn't hear anything either.
Sorry, so for those of you, unless you've hit interpretation to activate it, you are not hearing it. The folks who are listening to this meeting in Spanish can hear it.
Okay.
So, yeah, so unless you need it, you're not able to, you shouldn't be hearing it. So,
okay.
Okay, well.
I shouldn't be here? What?
Okay, great. So welcome everybody to the our first virtual 8617 meeting. It's 6:02. We're gonna give folks a couple of minutes to get on the line and to get used to the Zoom setup. My name is Daniela Simunovic, and I am the facilitator with my colleague Chuy Flores, who is also on the line. We're gonna start the meeting in a few minutes. For those of you who, for folks who have joined, that there is translation feature available for members who need simultaneous translation during today's meeting. That feature is at the, we'll walk through how to access that feature shortly, those folks that need that are here able to hear an interpreter on a different channel and still hear us. So we're gonna give folks two more minutes to log on, and we're gonna go ahead and start the meeting. So we're gonna start at 6:05 just to make sure that we have everybody online. Okay. All right, Anabel, and we're gonna be, in this couple of minutes, we're gonna be testing the translation. Anabel, do you see my chat? Can you hear me? Do you have, Anabel, if you hit the chat icon.
Te escucho cuando habla Daniela.
Sí, me escuchas, ¿verdad, Alicia? Sí, pero estamos viendo, okay. I'm going to launch the trans. Montserrat, ¿tú no escuchas a nadie? ¿Tú no escuchas a Anabel?
Sí.
¿Sí escuchas a Anabel?
Ya te estoy escuchando.
Sí.
Okay.
Sí, ahorita sí.
Okay. Alicia, si puedes avisarme a través del chat durante la junta si no la escuchas, o si puedes levantar tu mano, eso me ayudaría para, eso nos va a ayudar. Okay. All right. So one more minute. It sounds like the translation is working. Anabel, to access the chat, you just click, remember to click that chat icon at the bottom of the menu, and the participant tab will also give you a screen of who is on the meeting. So it's 6:05, so we're gonna go ahead and get started because it sounds like the translation is working. Yes? ¿Está funcionando la interpretación? ¿Me pueden dar? Hay que esperar un poquito porque yo creo que va a haber un poquito de retraso en que se escuche. Anabel, can you say something in Spanish to see if the folks can hear you? Okay, I need to slow down.
Ya te escuché ahorita.
Estoy hablando un poco rápido, creo que es el problema.
Montse, Margarita, Alicia y yo. No, bueno, tu servidor y nomás.
Okay. Alicia, le voy a pedir que se ponga...
Ahorita ya te estoy escuchando.
Okay.
Sí.
Pero...
Okay. All right, well, we're going to get started. It's 6:05. Thank you all for joining. I'm going to talk extra slow today because we are using a simultaneous interpretation, which I think provides some bit of a delay between the interpreter hearing what I'm saying and her being able to say that to the folks who are on the Spanish channel. So we're going to walk through real quick tonight's meeting. We're going to start just by welcoming you all and hoping that you all are doing well and that your families find yourself healthy and safe. Unfortunately, given the circumstances in the world right now, we are forced to do this meeting virtually, but fortunately there's technology and we were able to, with a lot of work from a lot of folks this month, make this meeting happen. So thank you all for logging on. My name is Daniela Simunovic and I'm one of the facilitators for the AB617 Steering Committee. My colleague Chuy Flores is the other co-facilitator who we will be leading you through the meeting tonight. And I want to acknowledge Bill Brick, who's been the lead contact for tonight's meeting, and provide Bill the opportunity to say a few words of welcome.
I'm here. This is the part about the virtual meetings. I want to thank everyone for attending our virtual meeting tonight. As you know, we canceled our March meeting on relatively short notice. We had important items on the agenda that needed discussion and concurrence to move forward. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get many of those items accomplished. In the interim, email did not lend itself to getting us to consensus on issues. 1 month ago, we really had no idea where the novel coronavirus pandemic would lead and how long we'd be under the state and county orders. In many ways, we still don't. In San Diego County, we have limits on gatherings, and a gathering is any event or convening that brings together more than one person in a single room. Our steering committee meetings have traditionally been held in a single room at Perkins Elementary School. So even when limits on gatherings start to relax, I anticipate that we will still have limitations on our ability to hold meetings in public due to social distancing requirements. It looks like we'll be holding virtual meetings for the foreseeable future. So here we are 1 month later, trying out a technological approach, a virtual meeting. I want to thank everyone who helped get this off the ground. We evaluated numerous virtual meeting hosting options, and we chose Zoom for a variety of reasons. It is easier to use than some of the other applications. Importantly, it has the language translation option built in. We didn't need a separate phone line for people to call in. We can control several functions remotely, and we can control the participant list so we don't get any unwanted guests. There were numerous steering committee members who helped test drive, evaluate, and debug the use of this software. While I don't have time to acknowledge everyone, I do want to mention the community members who did help. Alicia Sanchez, Margarito Moreno, Montserrat Hernandez, Sylvia Calzada, and Vanessa Contreras. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. Joy Williams and David Flores also helped. And by the way, the Environmental Health Coalition was able to provide tablets and members not have the ability to attend virtual meetings. Thank you, Environmental Health Coalition. I also want to point out Amabel Herrera, our interpreter, who joined us during tests to figure out how to make the translation module work. And a special thank you to Daniela and Chuy for staying on top of this and making it happen. So thank you. What do you say? Let's roll.
Let's roll. So we are going to roll along, and we're going to start with some virtual meeting logistics. So everybody should see this bar. It should be familiar to you. It should be at the bottom of your screen. Currently, at the bottom left, you'll see that there's a button to with a microphone with a red line on it, and where it says start video. The unmute button, everybody is currently on mute. You can click on that button to unmute yourself when you want to speak. We're currently, I think many of us are sharing our video in an attempt to, in our research about how to conduct virtual meetings, they advise that actually most folks don't share their video. And so if you click on the start video, it'll turn your video off and we won't see you. They recommend that for preserving bandwidth of the internet. So today we're advising and asking that most, if we can turn off our video, the presenters will leave their video on as they're presenting, so you will be able to see the speaker as they're speaking. When you're asking a question, if you would like to put your video on, that's great. If some of you like to keep your video, that will also allow that, but you know, the preference is for that to stop. Next, on the bottom right, you'll see a participant icon. If you click on that, you'll get a window on the top right of your screen that will give you all of the names of the people who are on the meeting today. You'll notice that there are a list of panelists, which currently we have 32, and a list of attendees. Panelists are those members of the steering committee and their designated alternates, in addition to key staff from the Air District that will be playing a leadership role in today's. Attendees, we've set that for members of the public who are attending as observers of the meeting today. During each item today, you will have the opportunity to speak, whether you're an attendee or a participant panelist. And we will for you who are attendees, we will signal that and that portion of the meeting comes. So again, after you hit your participant tab, you should have seen a window like this that lists all the participants. At the bottom of that window, you'll see that there's an option to raise your hand and unmute me. At this point, everybody is muted by me. If you would like to request that I unmute you, I think that's what the unmute me button is, but you also have the ability to unmute yourself by clicking the mute button. Also, what we're going to ask the panelists to do is, if you have a question, to signal to us as the facilitators that you would like to ask a question, we're going to ask that you hit the raise your hand button. So I'm going to ask everybody to hit the raise your hand button right now in the participant tab so that we can see your hand. And I'm going to wait until I get 32 hands up. And we see some going. So I see that the attendees are beating the panelists. Just so you know, I don't see those Zoom buttons. I normally see them. Penelope, if you don't see the buttons, I think you don't see the participants. I think as an attendee.
Perdón, Daniela, me metan a participantes para ver eso.
Para los participantes, sí, para ver todas las personas que están ahí. Y para levantar su mano. So as attendees, you have a different option than as panelists. So you have a different view. So that might be that. So for panelists to write written questions, you should have a chat icon at the bottom where you can hit chat and you'll get a chat window beneath your panelist window. Again, that is where you can chat through written messages with other members of the panel and with the facilitators. If you're a member of the public and you're in attendee mode, the option for you is you have a Q&A button at the bottom of your screen. You can enter questions there. Those questions will be going to Chewy and I, and Chewy will be answering those for throughout the meeting. Again, you'll have an option to ask an oral question, so we're not going to rely on that. You're not limited to these options. For those of you who are calling in on an iPhone, there should have been an option through Zoom for you to unmute yourself. If you're calling through the app, at the bottom of the screen, there should be an option for you to do those things. If you're calling just on the audio, if you unmute yourself, there should be an opportunity for you to ask an oral question. Olympia, I see you in the chat. So if you want to raise your hand, it's in the dot. So Olympia is saying that for those of you who are on your iPhone Zoom app, that you can hit the raise your hand button by accessing the button with the three dots. Thank you, Olympia. The interpretation is available on the bottom right. If you hit, you see the globe, you should see a globe. You should see a globe that says interpretation. If you hit on that, you'll get a menu option of the different languages available. Tonight, the only language we have available is Spanish per our usual requests. So those are the Zoom meeting logistics, and that's how we're going to roll through the meeting. Again, panelists, you have the option to unmute yourself. Currently, I have everybody muted, and we're gonna ask that if you're not speaking, if you just can be on mute. So with that, we're gonna go over the objectives of tonight's meeting. So as we started talking about how sheltering in place is gonna impact the steering committee, we're gonna keep the steering committee going. And this is our first meeting, but we don't intend to let this shelter in place order slow us down. So we'll be talking about that throughout today's meeting. At the last meeting in March, there were a lot of questions about the CERC timeline. So Jim Sweeney will be giving us a presentation to review the timeline your district has for creating the community emissions reduction plan, which must be submitted to CARB at the end of this year. We're also gonna follow up with the conversation we left in March with Kathy Keehan about the incentive funding projects that have been submitted to the Air District and ask the steering committee for your guidance. We'll have an update on the process to update the charter, and we will also have a vote on a proposal to develop, to establish formal subcommittees for the AB 617 steering committee. So we'll start the agenda. We've started with welcome remarks. We'll go into approving the meeting notes from the February meeting. I think we discussed the shelter in place briefly, but if there's any questions, I think we can open it up for questions. And then we'll go into discussing the and voting on the proposal for the subcommittees and the charter, the incentive funding, and the CERC timeline. You'll note that unlike in our other meetings, we've moved public comment to the end of the meeting. To provide just for more of a smoother transition in the presentations. So public comment will be open, but towards the end of the meeting following Jim Sweeney's presentation on the CERC timeline. Per usual, members of the public will have up 3 minutes to speak, and that's also, we ask people to limit their time to 3 minutes, and panelists, if you have any updates that you would like to share or community events, that's also an opportunity for you to do that. And then we'll adjourn this evening's meeting. So for our first virtual vote, I would like, so for our first virtual vote, I want to do the first step of actually taking roll call. So we haven't done that before at the meeting. And while I have the participant chat box open here, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to unmute folks. And I'm going to call out people's names. And if I'm going to ask you when I call out your name to unmute yourself, just to say that you're here at the meeting. I'm going to call steering committee members first. If you are here tonight as an alternate in place of the steering committee member, we'll ask that you let us know. And again, for voting, only if both the alternate and the official member are here, we're going to ask that only the steering committee member vote. So first on the list is Ashley Rocia Tremonti. Can you just unmute yourself and say you're here?
Yeah, hello, this is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. Jack Monger. I think I saw your name, here. Jack. Great.
Thank I'm you. Here.
Great, thank you. Sarah Giobi.
Here.
Great. Larry Hoffreder.
Here.
Great. Elisa Arias.
Here.
Joy Williams.
Here.
Raymond Pei. Sorry if I messed up your last name.
You got it right.
Great. Roman Partida Lopez.
Here.
Dr. Sela Serpas.
Here.
Oh, great. You're here, Dr. Serpas. Wonderful. Jose Marquez Chavez.
Here.
Hello, Jose. AC Dumont.
Here.
Great. Liana Rios. Liana, are you with us? I see your name, I think. Can you speak? I think, are you on mute? We can't hear you if you're talking, but I see your name.
I see her on there and she's unmuted, but I didn't hear anything.
Okay, but she's there, so. Filomena Marino?
I'm here, sorry, I muted my phone.
Oh, okay.
Liana, sorry.
Great. Filomena Marino?
Filomena is here.
Filomena, sorry for that. Sandy Naranjo?
Here.
Ted Gottschalk?
Here.
Hillary Medina? No Hillary. Alicia Sanchez is here.
Yes, presente.
Margarita Moreno?
Here.
Perfect. Irma Ortiz? No Irma. Giapsi Gomez?
Here.
Great. Olimpia Andrade Beltran?
I'm here.
Hi, Olimpia. Noreen Riverall? Okay. No Noreen. Vanessa Contreras? Is Vanessa Contreras on? No Vanessa. Andrea Lopez Villafana? Andrea, are you on? Andrea is not on. Salvador Razo Abrica?
Here.
Great. Montserrat Hernandez?
Aquí.
Y Silvia Casada?
Here.
Sorry, Silvia. Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you. I'm sorry if it made you feel like you're at school, but we practice the mute and unmute, and it helps us have a record of who's all here. With that, would anybody like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the February meeting?
So moved.
Great.
This is Ted.
Thank you, Ted. And yes, if we can talk, if you can say your name, that would be helpful. And if everybody, does anybody have any, does anybody vote against? Is everyone in favor? You want to unmute and say aye?
Aye.
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 Aye. That's kind of unorganized.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, perfect. We're going to get the virtual voting done better. But thank you. We've completed our first virtual vote, so great. Now I wanted to offer the opportunity for Bill or anyone from the Air District, if there was anything else in addition you wanted to add to what we talked about at the beginning about the shelter-in-place order.
This is Bill. I guess I already did that. But I'd like to just bring up something of interest. Probably not too many of you have heard of Dr. Ari Hagen-Smith. He was a pioneer in air quality science and the first chairman of the California Air Resources Board. And since 2001, CARB has annually bestowed the Distinguished Hagen-Smith Awards to extraordinary individuals to recognize the significant career accomplishments in at least one of these air quality and climate change categories: research, environmental policy, climate change science, science and technology, public education, community service, and environmental justice and international leadership. Just want people to know that one of the 2019 Hagen-Smith Award winners includes one of our own, Joy Williams of the Environmental Health Coalition. Joy has Joy has devoted her career to empowering residents of disadvantaged communities to protect themselves and their environment from toxic pollutants. For more than 30 years, she taught others how to harness the power of science, community, and advocacy to defend the rights of all races, cultures, and income levels to fair and respectful treatment in the development and implementation of environmental laws and policies. She is being honored in the community service and environmental justice category. Congratulations, Joy. You can all hit your applause button. I guess we don't have one, so Joy, we virtually celebrate you.
Okay, well, thank you, Bill. And I want to say, you know...
Turn your video on. Turn your video on. We want to see you.
Oh, okay. I want to say that, you know, I think this award is really for the whole environmental justice community. We all, you know, work together. We couldn't do it without each other. And so, you know, this is a big acknowledgement of everybody who's worked in environmental justice to get good air quality in EJ communities. So it's nice.
But she also deserves it. But she also deserves it.
So thank you for that tribute.
So I think if everybody wants to unmute and just give a round of applause or what to Joy. I mean,
congratulations.
There is no other ABC committee with the Nobel Prize air quality person. So we are the special.
There's a lot of claps in the chat room too.
Yeah, I hope you have your chat box open, Joy. Great. With that, I wanted to know if anybody else had any other questions about the shelter in place order and its impact on the steering committee. And if so, feel free to raise your hand. Margarita, ¿tienes una pregunta o tienes tu mano arriba por accidente? No other questions? Okay, well, we'll assume as questions come up, as we talk about other items, if questions come up, please feel free to raise those. Now we're gonna move to the discussion about the creation of subcommittees, which was an item that was discussed in February. And there was some email, there were some emails that went out to the steering committee during, in March to try to with included descriptions of the subcommittees. We're going to go over very briefly what this proposal is for those specific subcommittees and provide an opportunity for the steering committee to have discussion and to allow members of the public to also ask questions if you so deem. There are four proposed subcommittees. The first is a subcommittee to work with the Air District and technical experts to help in the development of the community emissions reduction program. The second subcommittee proposed is the creation of a subcommittee focused on air pollution related to the fort. Third subcommittee focused on land use issues. And finally, there has been an ad hoc group meeting to talk about truck electrification and barriers. And so it would really be bringing in this ad hoc subcommittee as a formal subcommittee of the steering committee. So we're going to quickly go through what each subcommittee would do. The search subcommittee would be comprised of community members and steering committee members, in addition to technical experts and staff from the Air District, which would be leading. The goal is to evaluate the needs of the community and to help identify a mix of projects that could be funded with the AB 617 incentive funding to achieve emissions reductions and to get the right balance of new advanced zero and near zero technology in the Portside community. Subcommittee members will also work with the Air District staff to analyze and understand the monitoring data that is being collected from the Portside communities and provide staff advice on how to present that information clearly in a way that is easy for members of the public and members of the steering committee to understand. We'll focus on the data results and present those data to the full steering committee. And the subcommittee, as all the other proposed subcommittees, will report back to the full steering committee with evaluations, discussions, and recommendations during our monthly meetings. So that is the description of the SERP subcommittee. Are there any questions related to the SERP subcommittee before I move on to the other subcommittees? If so, please raise your hand. Not seeing any hands from the panelists. The second subcommittee is a port subcommittee that would focus on strategies that we can incorporate into the Community Emission Reduction Plan and the Maritime Clean Air Strategy Plan, which the Port of San Diego creates. The goal would be for this committee to provide a set of recommendations for projects that can reduce emissions from port-related sources with quantified emission reduction estimates, dates, costs, and potential funding sources. The recommendations would go back to the Port Commission for their concurrence in July of this year. The subcommittee would work to identify projects and actions for the truck, cargo handling, and ship sectors, and anticipate that recommendations will also include cargo handling equipment from the port's industrial waterfront tenants, as well as the port cargo terminals and related drayage activity. Is there anyone that wants to say anything about this before I move on? Or maybe I'll just go, let me go to the third, finish the subcommittees, and then we'll open it up for discussion about all four. Slow down for the interpreter. The third subcommittee would be the land use subcommittee that would work to identify specific actions and policies that would reduce emissions from local sources. It would identify the entities, such as cities, that have the decision-making authority about these issues. And it would work to get commitments from responsible entities to take recommended actions by the group. The geographic scope for this would focus on the City of San Diego and National City. The fourth and final subcommittee is this ad hoc group that has already been meeting to discuss the technological institutional challenges to electrification of heavy duty truck fleets, and particularly those trucks that serve the port cargo terminals. The goal would be to compile useful information about the truck fleets and the distances that they travel, and to try to identify solutions that can facilitate a shift from fossil fuels while protecting truck drivers from unsustainable burdens. The recommendation tonight is for the steering committee to approve the creation of these four subcommittees as described. Each subcommittee will meet in between the monthly steering committee meetings and will provide a report back at our full steering committee meetings each month to provide a summary of the evaluations, discussions, and recommendations for final decisions for the subcommittee to take action on. So with that, I'm going to open it up for this panelist to discuss. If there's anyone from the panel that wants to say anything, you can either raise your hand or you can just unmute yourself and speak. Joy Williams, I see your hand. So why don't you go ahead, Joy?
I was a little unclear on what's the activity of the SERP committee in relation to the other ones. I mean, the other ones are clearly, you know, focused on developing specific strategies that ultimately feed into the SERP. So is the SERP subcommittee taking all those strategies and putting them all together, or do they have a different body of work? In addition to that. So that was my question.
Great. Jim and Bill, or anyone in the Air District, would you like to answer that? If so.
Well, I think it's to, increase efficiency of reporting back to the entire steering committee and get some people that can understand the technology that's going to go into emission reductions and things like that. We don't have time at every steering committee meeting to discuss at length everything. We're gonna have a subcommittee that's going to evaluate these things and report back as efficiently as possible.
Okay, so you would see the other subcommittees reporting to this committee?
No, all the subcommittees would report back to the steering committee. I thought we just needed, for the SERP, we needed a group of, technical people that could understand the technology and things like that. That's my recollection of that.
Okay, thank you.
And I think we have another hand up from Liana Rios. And then I see then Jack and Sarah. And then I also see a question from you, Sylvia, in the chat box, which we will ask following Jack and Sarah. And Leanna. So Leanna, if you want to unmute yourself. And if you want to show your video while you're talking, that's great. And Leanna, we can't hear you. Leanna, are you with us?
It shows she's still muted. She said she was on her phone earlier.
So maybe we'll wait till Leanna comes back and we'll go to the next hand that we saw up, which is Jack Monger. If you want to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks, Daniela. I just wanted to add to the SERP subcommittee that I think it would be, and I see this each month as we begin evaluating options and how we're going to invest funds and all this sort of thing, that at some point we need to be able to identify the level of emission reductions that any strategy or step or funding or program is actually going to return, so that we can, so that the members of the committee, so the members of the public have a sense of what to expect back from any of these singular strategies or actions, as opposed to just say it'll result in emission reductions. I think there should be some additional analysis to give people a sense of how extensive that reduction may be. Is it, you know, 1%, is it 50%? So we can, at the end of the day, have some sense of where the best place to focus funds or energy or our programs would be.
Thank you, Jack. Maybe we'll go to Sarah's question and then we'll, and Sylvia, and then we'll have maybe enough opportunity for the district to respond to that. So Sarah, if you wanna unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, I think my question is somewhat similar to the question Joy asked, but it pertains to the ad hoc truck committee. I think when I look at the description of that, it's very focused on port activities. And so I'm trying to understand why that is a separate call out from the port subcommittee. And is there a concern that those two groups may go off in a different direction?
Okay. Joy, I know you've been leading that. Do you want to take?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I think, you know, the port subcommittee would, be tracking what's going on in that truck ad hoc group, but then, you know, it will also be looking at strategies related to ships and, you know, additional strategies for, you know, shore power or other control of those emissions, and on cargo handling equipment as to, you know, primary sources of diesel from the ports. So I think that's where we're seeing that body of work. Whereas the work from the on the truck ad hoc group will also, I think, be taking a real close focus on truckers themselves and what is needed to make this work for them. So that's, you know, where the difference is. And I think Sal is participating, so, you know, he may want to add to that, but that's my answer.
Thank you, Joy. Sal, did you want to answer to that question, or do you want to hold till?
I'll go ahead and add now. So as Joy explained, we do see, like, what we're trying to do is keep it separate, right? What's on that side of the fence and what's on the outside of the fence. And the trucking community, the trucking community goes into the communities, and we're trying to follow that, see how it impacts the neighborhoods, the roads, and everything else, right? So we do see it as two separate lines, well, a thin line, because it is just a fence, but in general sense, it's, you know, not so much the coal ironing and everything else that's happening inside the ports. We're more focused on the transportation part of it and the impacts on the community, as well as the drivers, making sure that we have a sustainable system not something that we'll have to come back to replenish at a later date.
Thank you, Seth. So in the chat box, we had a question from Silvia Calzada is about the SERP subcommittee and asking if the SERP subcommittee is more focused on analytic actions. Sylvia, did you want to unmute and add more to that question?
Well, they kind of answered most of it. I'm still a little confused in regards to data to the SERP subcommittee. So all the data gathered within other subcommittees, would they focus on that?
So my understanding was that the data for the SERP subcommittee is focused more on the air quality monitoring data in the Portside community and focused on that. Would that be right, Jim and Bill?
Yeah, that's my understanding, is that we were asked to find ways to present our data a little more clearly. Sometimes the graphs get a little messy and things, so we're looking at ways to make it more understandable for everybody.
So, and to your question back, Joy, I think that would be one distinct way that the SERP subcommittee may distinguish itself more so from the others, more of a focus on that the air quality monitoring data and analysis of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you for that clarification.
Liana, I wanted to come back to you. You had your hand up and we called on you, but you were on mute. Do you want to go ahead and unmute and ask your question? Okay.
Earlier she said she had her phone muted.
On mute, yeah. So, okay, so we're going to move on then. And Liana, if you come back on in the chat box or if you want to unmute and let us know that you're here. Are there any other questions from the subcommittee about the recommendation or the subcommittees?
Daniela, this is Jim. Did you want me to address Jack's question?
Yes, please do so. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so Jack had mentioned the need to have some measurable goal, and that is correct. We'll be discussing that a little bit later when I give my full presentation. But what we will need to develop is what are these targets that we want to get, emission reduction, specific emission reduction, whatever. What metrics to show the progress we're making, and then what strategies are we going to employ to reach those targets? So that's what a core part of what the SERP needs to have.
Does that answer your question, Jack? Great. Okay. I'm going to, Larry, I see your hand up, Larry. Sorry, so go ahead, Larry.
Thanks, Daniela. just real quick, I'm in favor of all four subcommittees, and I think they're a great idea. I guess my question is, after we, my understanding is we're going to vote today in terms of forming them, what's the process we foresee in terms of selecting people or appointing people to participate in each one of the four committees?
That's a great question.
This is Bill. During our attempts at voting by email, we had people volunteer for several of those committees. So, we can put out for additional volunteers and put out the list of who has already indicated interest.
And maybe to confirm that too, if you want to, in the chat box today, write down if you're interested in a subcommittee, we can also do that, or you can also send me or Bill an email, reply to one of those emails with your interest in the subcommittee.
Thanks, Bill. I forgot about that. Appreciate the reminder.
And Joy, I see your hand up again. So do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, so I agree, the membership in these subcommittees would be self-selected, but I think it's important to, add also that the work being done by the subcommittees would be coming back to the full committee. So we all know what's going on in those and that it's fully transparent as to the process and the recommendations that might be coming out of the committees. And I think that's in the charter now, isn't it? Isn't there some draft language about that?
Shuey will know that. We will get to that, yes. And if not today, the charter still in draft, so we can add, we can maybe the direction, make sure that there's language if there isn't already.
Yeah.
So real quick, I'm seeing a question. Elisa, I see your hand up. I have a question from Montserrat in the chat box. And Montserrat is asking when we have to decide if we want to be on a subcommittee. So I don't think there's a deadline yet. Would by 2 weeks from now seem like a good deadline to send an email to Bill saying that?
2 weeks works for me. And I see a Q&A from Marcia Beverman wanting to know if the subcommittee meetings will be public. I think that the public can volunteer themselves to be on it, but I don't know if they're going to be held in this type of form or not just yet.
Oh, thank you, Chewy, and thank you, Bill, for that, flagging that question. Elisa, and then David, and then Jack, and then we'll open it up to the attendees to if they have any, unless there's other steering committee members. But I do want to just say to, again, in Spanish to Montserrat, in case Amabel didn't catch that, and to give her a break. Que Montserrat, lo que decidimos es que vamos a dar un periodo de 2 semanas para que la gente se decida si quiere ser voluntario en un comité y que se pueden comunicar por correo electrónico con Bill. Entonces, esa es la respuesta a tu pregunta. También quiero preguntar si Alicia o Margarita tienen alguna pregunta que quieren hacer en este momento. Y si quieren, pueden prender su micrófono. O si no.
Ok. Ok, mi pregunta fue, hace rato que estaba platicando, que si ¿cómo se iba a hacer el comité? ¿Si iba a ser por comunidades como nosotras, que somos de National City, o iban a ser de diferentes, diferentes del panel de ahí, del comité?
So I prompted the Spanish speakers to ask any questions. So I'm sorry for those of you, but Alicia's question is that will the subcommittees be organized by communities? Like, so for instance, the National City folks versus the San Diego folks. And I believe the answer to that, Bill, is, before I say it in Spanish, is that it will be by subject area, not necessarily limited in geography. Is that right? And so I'm gonna, if that's right, I'm gonna, so Alicia, lo que yo entiendo es que el subcomité va a estar organizado por los 4 áreas de tema y que no va a estar necesariamente organizado por comunidad. Great, okay, so with that, I'm gonna go back to the questions. So Elisa, David, and Jack, and then I see you, Olympia, too.
Yeah, my question is if the AR district staff is going to be convening the meetings and also participating in the subcommittee meetings. Maybe it's a question for Bill.
Yeah, you cut out just a tiny bit on my thing. It's something about...
Will California Air Resources Board members be a part of that?
No, the Air District. I meant the
Air District. Sorry, the ARB. Sorry, Elisa.
Well, we're going to keep tabs on a lot of things, but we're not a voting member of this body, and I don't think we're going to be voting members on the subcommittees either. So, but we monitor everything, and ultimately, it's our responsibility to put everything into action.
But who will organize the subcommittee meetings?
Oh, the subcommittee themselves, but we will help formulate them, get the list of people, and then they'll have to put a chairperson in charge and set up their meetings and things like that. We can, you know, listen in and participate, but we're not going to lead them.
Okay, thanks.
And to that, I don't know if the steering committee would like the air district staff to play more of an active role. I think, you know, this is, as we have this conversation, a recommendation that you can also make. So following Elisa, Chuy, who was after Elisa? David Flores, sorry. Go ahead, David.
Hi. I would if this moves forward, I would recommend maybe not leaving so much of a time just to for folks to.
Oh, you can't hear you. Start again. Your audio cut out.
So I was saying that I think 1 week is enough time to have participants chime in on the subcommittees. Because we, just again, just to make sure that we have enough time to get as much work done as possible.
Okay, so 1 week deadline instead of 2 week deadline. Great, thank you, David. And then after David, we had Jack again.
Thanks, Daniela. I agree with David, and I lost my internet a couple minutes ago when Jim was responding to my comment. I just wanted to let you know that I did hear it, and so I got it, but I couldn't respond, so thanks.
Okay, good. Okay, I see next in the line after Jack, Olympia, and then Philomena, sorry if I'm mispronouncing anyone's name, I'm so sorry.
Hi, this is Olympia. So I think it would be helpful for me as a community member to know what skills or experiences or observations would be helpful to the different subcommittees, so I know pretty clearly if I can contribute, if I have knowledge and information to contribute, or if I'm just going to sit and listen to other people inform me about things that are kind of beyond my scope of understanding in terms of technology or data gathering or other things, which has been one of the main detractors, I think, for myself in participating in these meetings, is that I feel like decisions are going to be made anyway, whether I participate or not. So I'd just like to know what role community members will have or can fill in the subcommittees so that we know what we can contribute.
Thank you, Olympia. Does someone from the district want to take a stab at answering that?
Yeah, this is Jim. I would say that as long as you have an interest in the topic, then you would be welcome in the subcommittee. Like for the SERP, specifically talking about the SERP subcommittee, if you have an idea on what you want to see, that'd be perfect to come to the subcommittee on.
Thank you. I appreciate that response. I think most of the community members are present because we want to see clean air, but we're not absolutely sure entirely on how that comes about or how we can, what I personally can do or what my fellow community members can do to contribute to the cleaning of air. So I'm a nurse and a mom. I was a K-1 teacher, and a lot of the information that I've received at these meetings is over my head, and I have a bachelor's degree. And I know not all of my community members do. So how do I come back to my neighbors and be like, yeah, I went to the AB617 meeting and this is what we can do to help, or this is how I can represent our needs or our observations or our concerns. I mean, my family's asthmatic, I'm asthmatic. This is why we, you know, are committed to this effort. And why we love EHC so much, because they know the vehicles necessary to utilize for the improvement of air quality. I don't know those things. So aside from just being interested, what is the benefit of my presence in the subcommittee?
I'm going to take a stab at that and say, Olympia, that thank you for raising all those really important issues. And I think that you've sold me already on that you should be a member of the SERP subcommittee. And that your background, your that very experience of being a nurse and having a bachelor's in science and knowing a lot about these issues would be the type of lens that would be helpful for the Air District staff to work through in providing them feedback as the SERP committee looks through emissions, the air monitoring data that's being gathered. I would advise the Air District, and I think we could talk about this after this week, but I do think that it would be important for at least at a minimum one staff person to participate in those subcommittees to provide information. And I do think that particularly at least, if not all the subcommittees, at least at a minimum, the SERP subcommittee, that there should be a couple of staff on that to kind of work with the subcommittee. I do think that will be an important one for the development of this, of the SERP and to getting at that.
This is Jim, and I definitely agree for the SERP subcommittee. I'll be participating in that one, and we'll see which other staff people need to be on that.
And I also see Director Bob Card raising his hand, so I'm going to call on Bob to unmute himself and to go ahead, Bob, if you to add anything. And then I'll go to Filomena and to Larry and Margarita.
Okay, can you hear me okay? Okay, so again, Bob Card here. You know, I think having a variety of people, whether you have expertise or not, on these subcommittees is important. And one of our jobs is to help you understand if there's something you don't know. It's up to us to help educate so you learn more as you're going along. And your input is already valuable, but becomes more so, you know, if we can help you better understand things. And I think I heard the comment about how technical things can be. It's up to us to straighten that out and be careful about how we approach things, so that we aren't talking in the lingo we use all the time, but we're actually helping you better understand to enable you to participate more fully even. That's really all I had to say.
Thank you, I appreciate that feedback.
Great, so I see, I'm gonna call on Filomena, Margarita, and Larry. And then we're going to, and then I'm going to bring us to us to see if the attendees have any questions. And then I'm going to give them time, because my job is to move us along. And we're already home, so I'll get you home by 8 o'clock no matter what. But I do want to make sure that we're respectful of our time. And even though we're virtual, we're still getting done by 8. So with that, Filomena, if you want to go ahead with your question.
Thank you. I just posted it. I believe the draft charter indicated the meetings would be conducted in compliance with the Brown Act. And so I just wanted to know how those rules would be applied for the quorum.
That's a good question. Bill or Chewy, since you've been sitting with the charter longer than I.
There was something about a quorum and the Brown Act that I got a little cut out.
The rules of the quorum with regards to having a set, because the last time I saw the draft charter, I don't know if it's been updated since I last saw it, but I believe it indicated that we would have the meetings being conducted in compliance with the Brown Act requirements. And Joy, if you can chime in, I think there's there's rules on quorum as far as how many of us that are sitting in the already in the steering committee can be part of subcommittees, as long as we're not making decisions, and those we come back to the full team to make the updates that's indicated, and the voting would occur in the main meeting and not at the subcommittee level.
Those sound like really good clarifications for how we stay compliant with the Brown Act while having smaller subcommittee meetings. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, and by definition, a subcommittee should not have enough people, committee members, to constitute a quorum, so that they have to come back and report to the entire steering committee for a vote or action.
So I want to interject and say that what I'm hearing at this point from the feedback is that there seems to be agreement with creation of the subcommittees, but we would like more information. Folks are wanting more information about the mechanics of how that will work. Including Brown Act, including quorum, including volunteer, and including role of district staff and information and responsibility of volunteers. with that, I want to call on Margarita and then Larry and then Roman. And so Margarita, si desea hablar ahora, por favor, puede activar su micrófono. And I will translate for the English speakers. I will translate what Margarita says.
Okay. Mi pregunta es esta. O sea, bueno, lo que me afecta a mí un poco que no puedo entender, ¿se acomodaría un horario para que todos los que estamos interesados pudiéramos juntarnos en un subcomité, ya que muchos tenemos otras actividades o trabajo? ¿Tratarían de acomodar el grupo para que se pudiera uno juntar una vez al mes?
So the question is, would for these subcommittee meetings be set up in a way to accommodate for people who have other commitments and of time in order to facilitate their participation? So I'm assuming that I'm going to add to that, that maybe me evenings or weekends, or could there be flexibility within that?
No hay nada.
No han dicho nada todavía. Answer is yes.
I think each subcommittee is going to have to work out those details. We'll try and do as much as we can.
So la respuesta de Bill es que cada subcomité va a tener que trabajar con esos detalles. Entonces el primer paso va a ser la formación de estos grupos, y ya cuando tengamos los voluntarios podemos desarrollar ver los horarios y ver cómo quieren funcionar ese subcomité. Y dentro de las reglas que se va a formar. So what I said is that the first step is to really establish the subcommittee, and then once we have volunteers, and then get those people together to discuss their schedules and other logistics, and being mindful, of course, of the rules in the charter about how the subcommittee will work. And then with that, Larry and Roman.
I just wanted to respond quickly. I wanted to echo part of what Bob Card said, but I'm planning on participating in the port subcommittee and the ad hoc truck subcommittee. So my hope is that I'm hoping that it'll be. I'd love to have residents. I'd love to have whoever's interested in those topics participate. But my hope is that when the subcommittee convenes, we can maybe work on some of the details and then ultimately figure out a way as a small subcommittee to bring the most important kind of recommendations or findings to the larger committee in a real clear and concise way. So I guess it's kind of twofold. Is one, I'm guessing that, you know, the port subcommittee, I'm guessing we probably will get into some, you know, technical cargo handling equipment that we're looking at. So I don't want to discourage anyone from coming, but I also want to reassure people that the goal is to just be able to kind of work together so we can bring recommendations forward to the larger, the full steering committee in a real clear, concise way that's understandable by everyone.
Oh, thank you, Larry. So with that, Roman, did you have a question that you wanted to ask as well?
Yeah, thank you, Daniela. This goes to the logistics of the subcommittees. I think we've been talking about that, but if community members, when community members join some of these subcommittees, especially those who may need the translation services, right? I'm curious whether like that service will be provided, if we're sharing out information about, let's say, to Larry's point about some of these really technical set of information for the discussion, right? Like, will that be translated so that, you know, folks can review that beforehand? So I think, you know, we can get really into the weeds in these subcommittees, and, you know, to Olympia's point early on, like, it is extremely technical at times and hard to process. So how would we be preparing for that? For everyone, but especially for the community members. So I think something else to think about, and if we're meeting potentially once with the subcommittee and then once with the entire committee, you know, that's two meetings a month, right? Like, is that in the budget for the translation services and things like that? So just wanted to put that out there and something else to consider.
Thank you, Roman. Just from my experience, so we helped, Chuy and I helped facilitate the Charter Working Group, and Margarita Moreno was a member of that. And so we did have, you know, translation issues. So we're, what we did do is I would schedule a phone call with Margarita to report back on some of on those issues, on what we discussed. But we're discovering now in the virtual world that we do have, you know, interpretation options or other ways. So I do think that there are some, I think there are some ideas for how we can address that if there are multilingual subcommittees, and it may take resources. So that's important to flag for the Air District. I see David Flores' hand up. I'm going to call, last call for questions on this from the steering committee, and then I'm gonna open it up for attendees of the public. And if you can start to raise your hands, I believe you can do that in the attendee box. So we can get a queue of you all if you have any questions. But if anyone else after David, it's last call. And David, if you wanna go ahead.
Thank you. I don't have a question.
Sí, me escuchan.
Disculpe, perdí mi conexión con el internet, pero ya estoy de nuevo, disculpe.
Sí, te escucho.
Okay. Oh, es Amabel, ¿tú perdiste tu conexión?
Yes, I did. Sorry.
It's okay. So I'm gonna need to pause the screen for a second to restart the interpretation. Our interpreter lost. So I'm gonna ask everyone to hold on 1 second while we start that up. Stop sharing. Amabel, did that work? Alicia, Margarita, ¿ya escuchan a Amabel?
No.
Muchachas, ¿sí me escuchan?
Sí, ya te escucho.
Sí.
Sí.
¿Sí, ya la escuchan? Perfecto. Thank you, everyone. So go on, David.
Thank you. So I don't have a question, but getting back to Olympia.
No tengo una pregunta, pero regresando al punto de Olympia.
Oh, Amabel, I can still hear you. Hold on. I think it didn't work right.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry, David. Hold on 1 second. Technology is not perfect, but we are trying. Okay. I'm going to relaunch it. Let's see.
Should I go into language interpretation?
Yes. I think you have to do that on your end.
Okay. Let me. Oh, it's gone.
It's gone?
Can you hear me?
Oh. Okay, starting it now, sorry.
Okay, here it is.
Okay, I think you're gone. Perfect. Yes, Kuchan? Okay, thank you. I think we're good. Go ahead, David. Very perfect for the topic.
Yeah, no, I'll make it quick. This program has a very important role for residents. I think it makes the connection of the science to the community that is around you know, these different sources. And we need the community perspective for each of the subcommittees, the experience of the life and impact of each of those topics on the community. So the SERP is at a very important moment where I think the first in San Diego, right, will present to the whole region what we can come up with for this plan. So it is very important to have that community voice in the different subcommittees. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to open up to members of the public, attendees. Do you have any comments that you would like to make? And if so, please raise your hand and we'll allow you to talk. Okay, I see Vernon from ARB, I believe. Vernon, you are free to, I think you have to unmute yourself now. I have unmuted you.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, this is Vernon Hughes from CARB. I just wanted to, number one, kudos to all the full team that put this together. Great job. Also, congratulations to Joy. But just wanted to express, you know, CARB is available to assist as the steering committee or district need us to participate in the meetings for support on inventory, et cetera. I just wanted to express that to everybody. That's all I had.
Thank you, Vernon. One question for you or one of someone else from your team while you're on off mute. How did some of the subcommittees work in other AB 617 air districts? Do you know that or processes?
Yeah, with some, can you hear me okay? Okay. With many of the districts, this is a really nice layout, by the way, of subcommittees. I see the CERP subcommittee similar to other subcommittees in Bay Area, South Coast, for instance, that was a technical advisory group. So that group and other regions would bring technical information, kind of assimilating data and putting it in a form that could is digestible to the community and understandable to the community. And I think Bob did a great job of reflecting, it's our job as agencies in general to make sure that the community understands the information. So that committee is similar to the technical advisory groups. And then very creative on numbers 2 through 4 on being source specific, looking at strategies. Those type of committees, I can't think off the top of my head where there have been other committees like that, but this is a very novel, creative approach to some of to having a subcommittee. There was in Fresno a subcommittee on, because Fresno has both monitoring and an emission reduction program at the same time, they did have a subcommittee that dealt with putting together the monitoring plan. But yes, there are other steering committees that have used subcommittees. I think the way you're talking about it here is very effective, that they can take information, assimilate it, bring it back to the broader, larger steering committee.
Oh, thank you, Brendan, for that. I was just told that the translation is not working again. Okay. ¿O ya está funcionando? Montserrat y Margarita, ¿ya escuchan a Mabel?
Yo sí la escucho.
Okay, great. Margarita, ¿sí escuchas?
También yo la escucho.
¿No la escucha?
Sí.
Ah, sí. Margarita, ¿ya se arregló para ti también? Thank you everyone for your patience. Margarita, ya, si quieres sacar el micrófono para, ¿ya la escuchas?
Sí, ya la escucho.
Perfecto, gracias. Gracias por avisarme. Okay, thank you. Y lo que estaba diciendo Vernon de la mesa de recursos estatal del aire es de que está muy bien la propuesta de los subcomités y que piensa que la estructura que aquí que estamos proponiendo va a funcionar muy bien y que en Fresno también tuvieron subcomités que funcionaron muy bien. Okay, so thank you. Are there any other attendees that want to have anything to say? Seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the panelists and to see if someone wants to make a motion to approve. And you can also add, with specification that we've moved forward with these four subcommittees with it taking a week for the Air District to come back with a little bit more information about how these subcommittees will work. But does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, GFC. Appreciate that. And I see Joy's hands up too. GFC had suggested last time that we try by voting by hand. Do people want to try voting by hand? Okay, great. So I'm gonna lower everybody's hands first to start, and then I'm gonna ask that only those steering committee members that are members of the steering committee raise your hand. And we're gonna try to track this as best as we can. So I'm gonna ask everybody who is in, who wants to make it. So the recommendation is that we'll move forward with these four subcommittees within a week. People will volunteer and the Air District will also provide more information. Everybody in favor, raise your hand and keep that hand up.
We need a second for...
Oh, we need a second. Okay, thank you.
I'll second. This is Larry. I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay, so I am going to go through my list of hands and I see Margarita, Jose, Raymond, Montse. I'm gonna take a screenshot. Sorry, this is how, great. So I, great. Is anybody opposed to, okay, so I'm going to lower everybody's hands. So those are all everybody in favor. I'm going to lower everyone's hands. Is there anybody on the steering committee against or that has any concerns that you want to raise before we move forward? If so, please raise your hand at this moment or unmute yourself. Okay, I don't see any hands against. I see all the hands in favor. So I think we're gonna call this a vote and that it looks we're gonna move forward with this recommendation and that staff will provide more information over this week. And that, and thank you, AC, for that reminder. AC is a non-voting member per federal guidelines. So we have established our first set of subcommittees official and we will within this week have more information. And we'll ask to, if you're interested in joining any of these subcommittees, please email Bill Brick or myself in replying to any of the emails or both of us or just Bill. Great. So with that, we're going to move on to this next agenda item. And woohoo, yes, our first virtual vote. Everybody raise your hand. That's up. Okay. Now we're going to go to a quick update on the charter. So in February, we launched the charter. Or no, in January of last year, we launched the charter working group, December of last year, sorry, not January. We launched the charter working group to update the charter. So Chuy Flores from my team is going to provide an update on where we are on that. So Chuy, I'm gonna take my video off if you wanna start your video.
Hi, everybody, can you hear me? Daniela, can you confirm?
Yes, we hear you, I can
confirm. Yeah, thank you. Last meeting in February, the AIR district staff gave everyone a draft charter which had additional sections to the charter. Since then, the charter working group met in March and convened virtually, where they had the chance to provide comments and additional edits, where they were able to clarify a few things, including attendance requirements and term limits. District staff is still working through these edits. In addition, two key things that changed is that, as you all know, we are meeting virtually, so the working group decided to move forward with adding a clause on virtual meetings. Additionally, due to the county process on determining stipends, the working group thought it would be best to temporarily remove the stipend section until the county is able to give the green light on the charter. District staff will be finishing up the next revision of the charter and giving it to the greater steering committee to review in time to make a final vote in the May steering committee meeting. And that's it. So we'll open it up for questions and hopefully Bill and Bob can provide some answers.
So again, just a summary, we're not today, the committee action we're asking is just to provide feedback and then we will provide a final version of the charter for prior to the May meeting for final approval. So any questions about the charter or any comments, particularly about the stipends or the voting language or the virtual meeting language? If so, raise your hand. Oh, I see Sarah.
Maybe I missed it. I think I was trying to see if there was a more updated draft of the charter on the county's website, and the document that's showing up there still is the one from November 2018.
We were having problems posting things on the website today. Until it's final, it won't replace that current one, but it was supposed to be in the documents, but we were having some problems today, it seems like. So that's why Daniela sent out, or Chuy sent out some additional files today. They weren't getting posted.
Oh, maybe they came in after I left work. Okay. Sorry. I'll look for them in the email.
Sorry.
Yeah, that timing would be about right.
Okay.
So So nothing is final at this point. So if people want to take the time to read it and review it, and again, I think there will be some more edits to be made in the next couple of weeks. So we will send a final proposal. We did send something today if you want to provide feedback on that, and then we will send another revised draft prior to the May meeting. And again, at the May meeting, our hope is to be voting on the final version. Are there any other comments from the panel? The stipends, I think there has been strong consensus from the steering committee prior that that would be a helpful thing. So I don't know if anybody wanted to say anything there, or if not, don't see any hands. So I'm going to go to the attendees. Does anybody from the public have anything they would want to, any questions or comments on this item? Not seeing any, which is great. I'm going to move us along then. And so again, read the charter that we sent you this evening. You look out for another version prior to the May meeting where we will be voting on the final version. Great, so with that, we're running a little bit behind schedule. So virtual meetings are a little bit slower. It's our first one, so I'm sorry about that. Thank you. But now we want to hand it over to Kathy Keehan, who's going to continue where we left off in February about discussing the next steps for the incentive funding. So I'm going to go off and I'm going to let Kathy take over.
All right, we'll see if I can figure out to do this. Yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to share, where is it? Show all windows. Well, I had it here.
The green button.
No, it's not that. It's just as I'm trying to figure out the PDF. Here it is. Okay, share. Sorry, I have too many things open on my screen. So I'm going to start the first slide, see if that works. Come on, there it goes. Okay, so I'm hoping you can hear me. We're going to talk about incentive funding today. I have just a couple of slides we'll go through to give to remind folks where we were and where we are, and then we can talk about recommendation. So just a review of the process. I'm gonna hide that. So if hopefully you can see all of that. August and September, we had a call for projects. We took applications. We had $18.2 million in Community Air Protection Program, AB617 funding available to spend. We received 286 applications for all of the district incentive programs. So for the last many months, I apologize for it taking so long, we got a lot of applications and a lot of interesting applications came in. But over the course of that, our staff reviewed the projects to see, people ask for money. We can't always give them the amount of money that they ask for, so we have to evaluate to see if they're eligible and if they can be funded and how much. So then in February, we created a project list for that steering committee meeting. I apologize. Speaking of technical, we were a little too technical, I think, at that meeting and didn't give you guys the information that you wanted and needed to see about the projects. So we took a step back and we did, you all had requested more information from us about where the projects were and what kind of projects they were, and expressed again that desire for electric trucks. So we took that step back and we revised the project list and sent that out via email. So hopefully you've had a chance to look at it and review it. Just a reminder that all of the projects that for us to be able to fund the project, they all have to follow the state Carr-Moyer or Goods Movement Emission Reduction Program guidelines for our program at this point. People have to apply for funding. They're required to scrap their old equipment. All of the projects must meet the cost effectiveness limits that are set by the state guidelines. We cannot pay for compliance, so projects have to be early before the rules require action. They have to meet the geographic requirements. They have to, for this money, they need to benefit disadvantaged communities, so registered or stored in the disadvantaged communities, and be able to be completed within the timelines for the programs. So in Remembering that in October, we did an exercise and talked about the priorities of the steering committee to prioritize electric equipment, to prioritize projects benefiting schools, as a lower priority to do older diesel to newer clean diesel or natural gas equipment and infrastructure. I think we talked mostly about natural gas infrastructure at that point, and then other projects if they came in. So, we took a look back and we, from that spreadsheet that we had sent out to all of you on the committee, we broke out the projects into those projects that are in Portside and those projects that are outside the Portside census tracts. We have 50 projects altogether. We're proposing to spend $13 million approximately in projects in Portside. There were about $3.8 million worth of projects in disadvantaged communities, but those communities outside the Portside geographic limits there, for a total of about $17.1 million in funding. You'll remember we have about $18.2 million available to spend, so you can see that we don't have enough projects to spend all the money in the disadvantaged communities right now. You had also asked for emission reductions and cost effectiveness numbers, so we did also break those down by geographic area inside and outside the Portside communities. And then we took a look at the electric equipment to see how many pieces of electric equipment were in each of those geographic areas. So that is a super quick summary of what we did. I wanted to just remind the committee a couple of things. These projects are still not final. We've put them on the list. We're still evaluating some of them. Some of them are pretty complicated and require A or B to approve the project and the methodology to ensure that we're getting the emission reductions that we expect. We know already that one electric infrastructure project at the port is not ready from that evaluation, so we've pulled that. The other thing that's happening is with COVID and with the uncertainties about the economy, we're not sure how many projects are going to move forward in the next year. So we're anticipating being flexible about that. So given what we know right now, we think that there's somewhere between $1 and $2 million that's going to be available for other projects. So we created a recommendation for discussion by the steering committee. We'd like to ask the committee's support to spend the $17.1 million in incentive funding on those 50 proposed incentive projects. And then we would recommend that in the unused or projects that drop out on that uncontracted money, we would propose doing a second solicitation for projects focusing on electric heavy-duty trucks in the Portside community, and then also recommending asking the A or B to extend the deadline for those projects to be completed. We do not know if A or B will be able to provide that flexibility. Some of these deadlines are in statute. And so we're not sure right now if that flexibility is available, but we're certainly happy to ask that. So that's my presentation for tonight. I'm happy to try and answer any questions, and I'd like to hear discussion from the committee. So I'm going to stop sharing you now, Daniela, and give it back to you.
Kathy Roman had a question in the chat box.
Oh, great. Have I reached out to applicants to see about the probability of moving forward? We're starting that process, but we did not want to reach out to folks before we knew how the community felt about the projects.
Next question from Joy. So Joy, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay, now that I'm unmuted, I wanted to first thank Kathleen for that presentation and for the extra information you got out to all of us. So that's been real helpful. I think EHC does have some recommendations, which I sent to the whole mailing list not long before this meeting. So maybe that a lot of people have not seen that yet. So I could go over that. But I also wanted to say that I think we're in agreement that that, you know, a second solicitation focused on heavy duty trucks, you know, would be a good way to go, and on seeing if we can get more flexibility on the deadlines for getting the money spent. I think that really makes sense given the how the timeline's gotten off, you know, due to COVID and this group not meeting and not being able to give you feedback on the recommendations. So I think Daniela has put our list on the screen. I apologize, we did not get this translated. But, you know, what we were recommending in favor of was all the port-related electric projects, all the electric school bus projects, and that includes, you know, in port side or beyond it. We understand the port has an application for a bonnet system. I think, you know, that's something we're in support of as a way to reduce emissions from ships. And then any of the truck projects that are electric. I think we do not want grant funding going for fossil fuel projects. I think that's not a good way to invest money at this point, you know, on either cleaner diesel or natural gas projects. So we're recommending against those. And then we did have a recommendation on what to do with the rest of the money, which I think is, you know, closely in line with, you know, APCD's recommendation that, you know, priorities go to electric trucks, to do additional outreach to schools to encourage them to apply for money for air filters and electric school buses, you know, to see what outreach we can do to truckers to encourage them to apply for electric heavy duty trucks. And also, you know, reach out to the city and ask them for some traffic calming devices or other things that could mitigate impacts of truck traffic. So that was our thoughts.
Great. And I want to just give Bill Bricka credit for sharing his screen before I could. So he beat me on the draw.
Thank you, Bill.
That's great. Okay, so thank you, Joy, for sending that proposal. You obviously, and EHC, you've given the process a lot of thought, and we appreciate that. In your recommendation, were you supportive of the electric infrastructure to support those electric pieces of equipment? Is that part of your recommendation?
Yeah.
Okay.
I should have added that, yes.
Okay, thank you. So thank you for sending it a little early. I was able to run a few numbers, and so I just wanted to make sure that the committee understood the impacts of not funding those fossil fuel projects. So for Portside, I went and preliminary numbers because I did it on the fly when we were starting the meeting. So I think they're right, but I'm happy to confirm. The non-electric, non-bonnet, non-infrastructure projects for Portside total about $868,000, which is about 6.5% of the $13 million that we're proposing to spend in Portside. If we were to pull those projects out, they are the most cost-effective projects, so you see a decrease in the emission reductions, about 11% reduction in the NOx emission reductions. We'd lose about 3% in the ROG and about 20% in the particulate emission reductions that we were expecting from these projects. These are, of course, all preliminary numbers. For the non-port area projects, it's a much bigger impact to not fund the fossil fuel projects. There, there's about $1.8 million worth of projects for that. It's about 45% of the total funding that we were proposing in that area, but we lose 97% of the emission reductions in all three of those categories, for NOx, for LOG, and for particulate matter, by removing those fossil fuel projects from the funded list. So I just wanted to make sure that people understood that. Again, we don't know which projects are going to move forward. We may end up losing those projects anyway, but we're hoping not to, and we see some big potential emission reductions in those non-port side communities from those fossil fuel-based projects. One other point, just real quick, for the traffic calming, and Giapsi, I saw your question on the green space. Right now, those projects are not eligible to be funded with this money. So until we have the SERP, it's going to be harder for us to fund those non-traditional projects that don't fit into the MOIR or GMRP process. So I'll shut up now and let you guys talk.
Is there any way that we can address that? Because projects like these are very important to the community, and if we really want to be giving more resources to the community to be able to help reduce emissions in our own way, and something that we see as productive, I think it would be, you know, helpful to create something for us or to address this.
I agree with that, Giapsi. Trying to figure out how to say this. I think as part of the SERP process, we will be allowed more flexibility from ARB on how we spend the incentive funding. But because we're not through that process yet, we don't quite have that flexibility yet. So I think the answer to your question is how we get there is through recommending those projects in the SERP and getting really making it clear to ARB that we want to be able to spend the funding in that way.
Okay, thank you.
So thank you, Giapsi. So next on the list, we have Jose Marquez Chavez, and then Jack, and then Larry. And then Roman, well, we can go to your comment. Jose, did you still want to make a comment?
Yeah, just a quick question. Do you have like a second tier of projects that are not being considered to be funded, but you could also consider?
I would love it if we did, but we do not. All of the every application that was eligible in the Portside and disadvantaged communities, they're all on that list.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you mentioned that in our previous meeting, but thank you.
Okay, then Jack, Larry, Sandy, Sarah, and Joy.
Thank you, Daniela. I would just like to suggest that there's, while we look at all of these options for utilizing this funding, that there are really two important, there's lots of criteria that's important, but there are two that are seemingly extremely important. One is cost effectiveness. And at the end of the day, if we get a very significant return on emission reduction from a very small investment, I think that's something that benefits the community, could benefit the community much more substantially than just blanket saying that we're going to look for electrification, school buses, whatever it may be. I think all of these options ought to be looked at in terms of both their cost effectiveness and their overall emission reduction. If we really want to have an impact that benefits the community the most, we're looking to reduce the emissions as much as possible, emissions that are impacting the community. So I would hope to use that as criteria. And with regard to the list that were proposed by EAC tonight, I'm not really sure where those fall, if in fact they offer a great return in cost effectiveness and overall emission reduction compared to other options. I would definitely support those. I just don't know where they all fit in the scheme.
Daniela, you're muted.
Oh, we lost you, Daniela. Daniela, we can't hear you.
Sorry. Wait, go ahead, Kathy, sorry.
I was just gonna say, unfortunately, I'm not good enough with the numbers to be able to tell you exactly that cost-effectiveness split. We do know that we have a higher cost-effectiveness limit. We're allowed to spend more money per ton of emission reductions for electric projects. So they're less cost-effective, but still allowed. You get the diesel or natural gas projects are capped at $30,000 a ton of emission reductions, where the electric ones are capped at higher levels. The school buses are at about $200,000 a ton of emission reductions. So it is a sizable difference.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to go to Larry and Sandy and Joy. Larry, Sandy, Sarah, and then Joy.
Okay, so I have a question, then I think I have a comment, but I just want to make sure that I understand the math right. I think that what you did, Daniela, is you took EHC's recommendation to not fund diesel, higher tier diesel projects, and you removed that from APCD's money, so that we reduced it by $860,000. And that's 6.5% of the $13 million. And if we don't use that $860,000, we're essentially foregoing an 11% reduction in NOx emissions and a 20% reduction in PM emissions. Am I interpreting those numbers correctly?
For clarification, I was just taking notes as Kathy was talking, so those numbers might not be right, but that was my...
Again, back of the envelope calculations, we don't always know quite where we are, but those diesel projects for Portside, I guess another way to say it is they represent 11% of the expected NOx emission reductions and 20% of what we were expecting the PM reductions would be. So if we didn't fund those, we'd have to try and make that up with electric trucks, which are okay. Which we would hope to do. But.
Great. So I guess my comment then is, you know, I want to preface it by saying I'm really interested to hear what the preferences of the community residents are. But my personal opinion is if there's projects out there and we have funding to fund those projects that can reduce NOx by 11% and PM by an additional 20%, My opinion is it doesn't matter how we get there as long as we get there. So I'm very supportive of electric of electrification, but at the same time I'm also supportive of using state money to help clean the air. So I guess I just wanted to put that out there that you know, my thought is that we should be trying to attack air quality from all points and not just be kind of tunnel vision with electrification. But I preface that saying I'm really interested because it's really the residents who have to live in the community. So if they have different thoughts or feelings, I'm open to have my mind being changed on that.
Great. Okay. So thanks, Larry. I'm going to go to Sandy, Sarah, and Joy.
Hi. Yeah, I have two questions. So Kathy, the first question I have, looking at the draft summary spreadsheet. So for the port side, there's 7 pieces plus 2 infrastructure, and then there's 6 school buses on the outside port side. The first question is, how come there aren't any school buses for the port side communities? And then the other question I have in regards to air quality and infrastructure projects you know, the California Energy Commission has allocated funding that can tie into with this funding. So I wanted to know, how can we communicate to make sure we can magnify our projects and match the funding that we have for AB 617 with the California Energy Commission's clean energy, clean transportation program?
Those are great questions, Sandy.
Can I ask you to repeat that in Spanish, just for the benefit of the Spanish speakers? Because we just got a chat from the translator to everyone to slow down. So maybe let's give her a break.
Sorry.
Do you mind asking that, just a summary of that again in Spanish?
Actually, can I slow down and say in English and slow down? Or is the...
Oh, sure. Or I can also, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the first question I asked was the project spreadsheet. So I wanted to know why there weren't any electric school buses funded in the Portside community. So that's the first question. The second question was the California Energy Commission's clean transportation program. There is funding that ties with air quality and electric infrastructure and heavy medium duty. And how can we make sure we have bigger impact with that, tie that funding with our AB 617 funding to like magnify and multiply our projects here so we can get the most impact for our environmental justice communities.
Okay. So Sandy, the answer to your first question about the school buses is we did not receive any applications from school buses that had bus stops in the Portside communities. So I would like to be able to fund school buses. I would love to do that, but we didn't have any that were in Portside. We are proposing to fund all of the school buses that we received applications for that stop anywhere in the disadvantaged communities. So on the question of matching or magnifying the impact of that, we're certainly supportive of that, absolutely. And we would like to work with you to find ways to try and do that. We do communicate with the Energy Commission, the CEC, and we're open to any ideas that you all might have for us to be able to combine funding or pick projects that have the opportunity to co-fund with other projects. One of the electric school bus projects in the outside Portside is in partnership with the Energy Commission and SDG&E to provide those electric school buses. So we're definitely trying to do that.
Okay, thank you. I see Sarah and Joy.
Yeah, so first of all, I want to thank Kathy and her team, in the Ship Repair Association and the community out there. I can't even tell you how many times we saw her going out there and beating the bushes, looking for people to apply and helping them through this process. And she was a great asset. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's difficult to qualify for some of these fundings. And in most cases, it's not a blank check. The person applying for the grant is also in it for an investment as well. And I kind of want to echo Larry's point on the emission reductions, because, you know, I'm not sure that people necessarily recognize that the value of clean diesel. And of course, you know, electric is a great option. It just isn't always available or the best match for the technology. And in the case where you're moving from an older diesel engine, like a tier one engine, to a tier four, the PM reductions can be on the order of 27 times. So you really get a lot of bang for your buck on some of those moves. So I guess I would like to say I support, if the funding is available for those and we have applicants for those projects. Again, I also like the electrification projects, but I think we should be aware that it's not the technology that is available and will work for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call on Joy, and then I'm going to just flag that it's we're a little bit slower today at 7:50. I wanted to see if people were okay to stay till 8:15 today, and we can get through the SERP timeline after this, if that works for people. Can you all raise your hand, or is there anybody that absolutely needs to leave the call at past 8:15? Are people okay with that? Because that will give us time to finish the agenda, and it would it would help us make up for the time loss with technical stuff.
Yeah, okay. We're about to lose Olympia. Her battery's dying.
Okay, we're about to lose Olympia. Okay, so we're gonna go for Joy, and Sylvia is also disconnecting. So we'll go with Joy's comment and then bring it to a vote. And then for those of that, and for that vote, we will do roll call. And I know it takes longer, but I think this is an important issue that we want to make sure we get documented, and we are losing people. So Joy.
I just wanted to, you know, point out for everyone that we're not recommending not spending all the money or foregoing any emission reductions. We're saying, you know, can we try a little harder to reach out to the projects that we really think will be moving, you know, our technology and our air quality into the future for a longer period of time. And I'd like to point out that, you know, that the electric projects have the advantage of reducing greenhouse gases also, which the diesel or natural gas projects don't. So, you know, just to keep that in mind, it's not the specific focus of AB 617, but it's also important for life on our planet. And then, you know, I think we'd like to reach out to the schools and see if we can get them to go for air filters and school buses. So, you know, I think we're not saying, you know, forgo any emission reductions. I think we would like to take another try at getting a more ideal mix of projects. So that was my response.
Okay. So with that, Sal, did you want...
Sorry, it's a Roman. I had typed a question in the chat box. I know we're over time, but I just wonder if I could just address it really quick. Is that okay?
Yes. Also, a logistical issue. We lose our interpreter at 8 p.m. So at 8 p.m., I'm going to become the interpreter, and I'm going to have Chewy leave the meeting. So just to share that. Okay, go ahead. Roman, and then Filomena and Sal, did you have questions too? Or did you have your hand up from earlier? Okay, we'll go to Roman, Filomena, and Sal, and then we'll take it to a vote.
Great. Thanks, Anila. Yeah, given the fact that there is some excess funding available, and given the comments that have been provided by folks, I mean, I wonder if there is a scenario where the APCD could take a look at projects that aren't being electrified, that could potentially move in that direction, right? Of having a conversation with those applicants of what it would take to get them to that point, whether that be, you know, providing additional funding, whether that would potentially be technical assistance or some other type of support. And I know not all, not all projects will be able to move in that direction because of, you know, whether the technology is there or not. But for those where there may be, like, I don't know, I'm just curious of whether we can start having those discussions having those discussions with those applicants to see what it would take, because I think that would be really helpful. And especially as we think about like additional outreach in the future, like having some of that information at hand would be, I think, helpful as we, you know, do that outreach and education.
Yeah, I could say certainly we'd be happy to have those conversations with applicants. I think really fairly certain that the categories that we were seeing for fossil fuel projects are not projects that are easily transferable to electric. But we can have the conversations with people. I'm curious to hear from the committee, I guess, what we would do if applicants said that equipment isn't available or doesn't work for our needs.
Is that a question for EHC?
No, I guess more rhetorical. Sorry.
Got it. Okay, Ashley, I see that you have a comment. And then we'll take Ashley, and then we'll move it to a vote, and so that we can try to get this vote up by 8. And then I'm going to start transitioning the screen over to Chewy and to start. So we're going to do that. Okay, great.
There's a question in the chat, too.
And if you have a question in the chat, if you could just raise your hand and ask it here, that might be easier at this point. Ashley, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Ashley with the City of San Diego. I just had a question regarding the upcoming vote. Maybe it makes sense to potentially vote on those projects that folks are fairly decided upon, so those that are for electric. And if there's more information needed, if there's time to sort of gather alternatives for some of the fossil fuel powered projects, or maybe there is no alternative and we can kind of have some finality to that, that might help make the decision process a little easier, I think, for steering committee members. I know at least for my part, this is the first I'm hearing of the Environmental Health Coalition's letter, and I know that was sent right before this meeting, and I know I would like to be able to kind of give that a little bit more time and thought about those specific concerns. So I just wanted to put that comment in there because I know we're trying to move a vote quickly here.
Okay, Joy, did you want to reply to that, any of that, or?
Sure. Thank you, Ashley. I think that's a really good idea. I mean, do we have a first vote on, say the electric projects and the school buses, and then we have a second vote on the diesel ones or fossil fuel ones?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even know if that vote would be to sort of, give a thumbs up or down on those, but rather it sounds to me like there's, definitely community voices that are in a bit of opposition to those projects. And then there's sort of the technical sort of background there of, there may not be another path forward to reducing those emissions at this point with electrification. So maybe just having, sort of maybe at the next meeting, some kind of presentation, could be something short, some sort of expertise sort of weighing in on that and just kind of giving everybody around the table sort of that whole picture. Sort of thinking back to in the comment earlier that some of this stuff is high level and maybe over some folks' heads, that conversation I think is definitely something a lot of the folks on the table who have a background in air quality are having and understand sort of where the technology sits right now or currently what's available. So it may just be worth additional discussion and education, I think, for the group.
Okay. Thank you. Just to take the last two comments and then we'll move. And then also there's one more question in from the attendees. At 8 o'clock, we're gonna take a pause and I'm gonna switch out to the interpreter. Larry, Elisa, and then Larry.
Yeah, my only question is I just wanna make sure maybe before we switch that we're clear in terms of what the motion is and what we're voting on. I'm not sure if we're voting necessarily on the recommendation that's on the slide right now, or if we're voting on EHC's recommendation to essentially delay voting on $860,000 in some of those diesel-related projects. So if we could just clarify before we take the vote, that's my only request.
Thank you. So we haven't started the vote yet, which is the last discussion, last call for comments, and then we'll ask for a motion from the steering committee. This recommendation on the screen is just the staff recommendation, but we'll ask a motion from the steering committee. Maybe if there's multiple motions, then we'll ask for that. Yes. Elisa, did you want to go ahead with your question?
Kathy already responded. My question was about the traffic calming projects, and they are not eligible for this round of funding. Apparently, maybe they will be eligible also with the SERP. But I also support the recommendation that was made related to maybe moving forward with the projects that the Air District is supporting and that the community supports for electrification and taking a pause on the rest.
Great, so I'm gonna my last call as facilitator before I go to Chewy. I'm gonna ask for formal, if people wanna make formal motions, and then to state those. And then I do wanna allow for 1 second for Ryan Adencio from ARB to speak. Ryan, you are allowed to talk if you wanted to make a comment on this issue that you think is for the steering committee. And then after that, we'll Chewy just go into the voting. And I'm going to go into translator mode.
Thank you, Amabel.
Oh, I see. Ryan can't speak. Okay, so we'll move forward with a motion. So if anyone has a motion.
Ryan had typed in some stuff into the chat earlier.
Yes, and he had mentioned that there is the opportunity to talk to ARB about expanding the eligibility, the guidelines to allow more flexibility. And there's, let's see if I can do this right. And he sent, for those of you who are interested, there's a link in the chat for more information on those meetings and that proposal.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, I see Joe raised her hand. Could you speak your motion?
I did, but it sounded like somebody else was starting to speak before you read out Ryan's comment. Was anybody else wanting to make a motion? Okay, I guess not hearing any other motions. I would move to move ahead with funding for all the electric projects and the ports bonnet system, and that's without making, that's just a recommendation for those projects without any comment either way on what we're doing with the other ones. Is that clear?
Got it. So a motion for all the electric projects and the port electric projects, if I understand that correctly.
The port bonnet system.
Bonnet system projects.
Yeah, okay. Which is not classified as electric, but.
Okay. Do we have a second? I see. Awesome. Okay. I'm going to lower everyone's hand. Do we have anyone opposed? Please raise your hand.
You said opposed?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I believe the motion is approved for electric projects and the port projects as well. Okay, let's move forward to Jim's presentation on the SERP timeline.
Excuse me, Chewy. Chewy.
Yeah, sorry.
Chewy. Yeah, this is Jack. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I'm right at the, of course, here we go again. I'm losing my internet right as this happens, but I wanted to offer an additional motion that the alternative fossil fuel projects that were also part of the staff's recommendation that at our next meeting, we spend a few minutes discussing where those projects are, just giving some background on those projects in terms of, are there other alternatives? Are they fossil fuel projects for which technology and electrification does not exist, or exactly why those might be good and beneficial, aside from the fact that obviously they've got some.
Okay, it looks like Jack dropped off, but it sounded like he wanted more information on the other
I'll
projects.
Go ahead and second his motion, Chewy. This is Larry. I don't mind seconding what he said.
Okay.
Can we clarify the motion?
From my understanding, Jack wanted clarification on the other projects and understand what their barriers are to electrification and where they would go past this round. Is that your understanding, Kathy?
If I'm hearing the motion correctly, it's to bring back the information on the fossil fuel-based projects at our next meeting to discuss, to reach out to those applicants, to talk to them about potential barriers, why they didn't apply for electric equipment, and share that information with the committee. And then I guess make another recommendation based on that information in this meeting as to ask the committee if they would be willing to support those projects or if there are applicants who would like to switch to electric. Does that make sense? Sorry, that was a long way of saying it.
I understood that.
Chewy, I don't know if you can hear me now. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. This is Jack. Kathy's right. Just basically an assessment of these of the fossil fuel projects, the benefits that were coming from those, and why the staff is recommending those versus other devoting all the funding to electrification.
Got it. And Larry seconded your motion. So now we're going to ask for sake of time, a show of hands for people who are against the motion.
Well, Amina had asked that it be tight, just so you know.
Okay, the motion for more information on the fossil fuel-based projects and understanding their barriers was passed for the next meeting. Okay, now.
Thank you all for your help with that. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so for the next meeting agenda item, we will be passing it on to Jim Sweeney to give us an overview of the SERP timeline. Jim, feel free to share your screen now.
Thank you. So let me make sure I put the right one. And share. So thank you everybody for agreeing to stay a little bit longer so we can discuss this. By missing our March meeting, it definitely made it difficult for us to actually get through everything. So what I want to talk about is the timeline for developing the SERP, Community Emission Reduction Program, and what tasks we have as a district and as a steering committee to get everything set up for that. So the statutory timeline that we have here, and you'll see this doesn't start until August, but what we've kind of laid out is in August to present the draft SERP to the full steering committee to get your thoughts on it, have public workshops in September in both National City and Barrio Logan, take input from that, come back to the steering committee in October to hopefully get your approval. Assuming we get the approval of the steering committee in October, take it to the Air District Board in November for their approval. And if they approve, then send it on to CARB for a CARB board hearing in January. And it's that January date that's the important one. That's the one in the statute. But these milestones are what we need to have done by that time in order to meet that last date. So as a reminder from what Liliana gave in her presentation in February, these are the main building blocks that go into developing the SERP. So at the bottom, you'll see a community profile. That's understanding the community. A lot of that can be taken from the proposal we had to become a monitoring community originally. There's a technical assessment that comes in. This is a combination of emissions inventory work that's done, some by the district on stationary sources, some by CARB on mobile and area sources. And then the air monitoring information that we have, the ACLIMA data, the monitoring that Bill's group is doing, all of that gets pulled into that technical assessment, which leads to the source attribution, which really is saying the sources that have the greatest impact on the community. The next building block is the enforcement plans. That's Miney's group, and that's how are we enforcing existing and new regulations, and are there better ways to do that? Moving up then, we need to develop the strategies and the metrics to reach the targets. In an ideal world, we would already have the technical assessment done. We could easily come up with what those targets are and then work backwards to the strategies and the metrics. We're kind of developing everything at the same time. But that's just the timeline that we have available to us. So those top three boxes are where we really need steering committee, community members, technical people's input to help us with what we want to say in the SERP. So what, let me go back to that previous slide there for a second, sorry. So once you have the target, then you can develop what the strategy is to reach that target, whether that target is a specific emission reduction, a specific toxic reduction, things like that, and then the metrics. So we've already discussed the SERP technical subcommittee, so thank you for approving that. And then for the strategies, metrics, and targets, the target is what result do you want to see? What should the SERP be focused on? Could be a certain emission reduction, you know, diesel PM or NOx reductions, could be air toxic risk reductions. It could be what we want to do for land use discussions, at least what is available to the air district to do. We'll need to decide on what the metrics are. In other words, what do we want to track to show that we're making progress on reaching those targets? And then those strategies is how do we meet those targets? What are the things we want to focus on, whether it's incentives, whether it's rules, things of that nature. So as an air district, we've had a couple of meetings where we've brainstormed different ideas that we potentially could include, and we've distilled them into these main categories, if you will, and these correspond nicely with what's in CARB's blueprint. So the first one would be rule adoption or rule revisions, is to look at what existing rules do we have? Can we improve those rules to get more reductions? Are there other technology, other sources that we should look to in, you know, developing rules on? Now the next one is incentive programs, is revisit the incentive guidelines to see if there's a better way to serve the community. What Ryan put out in the comments on that upcoming CARB board meeting kind of fits along with that. Again, we've got the compliance program to evaluate the program, see what we can do to make it better. Outreach programs, things like increasing awareness on how to improve air quality and outreach efforts to improve the compliance rates. For land use, kind of explore options to discuss land use issues and other strategies. Now, these are pretty broad statements, and I want to put these out there just to start the discussion, if you will. Start you thinking about what are the types of things that we should, you know, could be looking at. Then we can decide what should we be looking at. So our recommendation for the steering committee tonight would be, for those who are interested, volunteer to be on the SERP subcommittee. It might be a popular one, and we're trying to not have a quorum, so we might end up, if we get enough volunteers, we might say, hey, maybe a few people decide if you really want to be on this. Provide feedback on that SERP timeline to see if that sounds good, if we can move things around a little bit. There's not a lot of room to move, but maybe a little bit. And then brainstorm additional strategies for consideration in the SERP. With that, I'm gonna turn it back over to Chewy, but I do wanna say on this brainstorming, you don't need to be on the subcommittee to have an idea what we should do. Just get it to somebody who's on the subcommittee so that we can include it and discuss it.
Thank you, Jim. Action is necessary at this moment. Just like we're just giving people a heads up to let Jim and Bill know if you want to serve on the SERP committee. And question. Now we'll open it up for public comment. I see.
Looks like Jack still has his hand up.
Jack has, feel free to speak, Jack.
Thank you, Joey, appreciate it. Thanks for that, Jim. I just wondered, do you have a sense of how the committee will go about identifying what it wants to accomplish via the SERP, what those goals may be, what that process would be? That could seem to be very, very involved and drawn out. I'm just curious what your thoughts are, if you've had a chance to think about that yet.
Sure. Kind of what I'm envisioning, and of course, once the subcommittee forms, they can decide if they want to go a different route. What I'm envisioning is that the subcommittee would have a brainstorming session or sessions, come up with what they think would be a good path forward, if you will, and then bring that back to the entire steering committee to say, yes, we like that, no, make these slight changes, whatever it happens to be. Really, that type of thing needs to be finalized in the July timeframe so that we can kind of write everything up and get that draft SERP back to the steering committee in August.
Thanks.
Thank you. And I see that Joy would like to volunteer to be on the SERP subcommittee. Do you have anything else to say, Joy?
Yeah, I just wanted to note that the other subcommittees could also have recommendations on targets, if not metrics. So the SERP subcommittee isn't the only place where that could happen.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Joy. I apologize for not saying that.
I'll open it up real quick for members of the public. If you would like to provide comment, please raise your hand. Okay, I see. None. Jack, your hand is still raised. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh.
I clicked it the wrong way. Okay. I did want to add that I would be happy to serve on the SERP subcommittee.
Got it. Thank you.
Hey, this is Bill. For the SERP subcommittee, I had Ashley say she would be on it. Jack, Larry, Elisa, Joy, Raymond, and Shalia, Liana, and Sandy, and Sylvia. Those were previously from emails last month.
I'll be submitting an email as well, but I would like to join the committee as well. This is Hyuk.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome.
I'll mark you right now.
Yo voy a pensar.
Montserrat said she'll think about it. Okay, I thank you so much for those who stayed on. We'll be typing up notes on this meeting and sending them as usual to the steering committee members to review before the May committee meeting, you'll be hearing from district staff on the subcommittees, as well as the next and final draft of the charter. And with that, we conclude this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
And thank
Ken,
you.
I've got Ken, I see you want to be on it too.
Thank you all.
Nice work pulling this off tonight, everyone.
Yeah, good job on coordinating it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, all.